says in Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Excuse me. Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Apparently, they're starting to figure it out. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they used to reason within themselves, he said to them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorify God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I had planned last week on preaching the first part of James tonight, and I told you that. The Lord wouldn't give me peace about that tonight. I've had this passage and this thought on my heart since Monday. I have some sermon ideas that come in my head, and I write them down all the time, because if I don't write them down, I forget it. I will for sure forget it. But every now and then, one comes in your head, and it just won't go away. And that's how this one's been since all week long. The Lord convicted me of it. He challenged me, and I hope I can get this message across to you tonight. I hope I can give it to you the way the Lord gave it to me. So Lord, so I can preach just a few minutes on, Will You Carry Your Corner? This passage here is a familiar one. I'm sure you've read this story many times before. I've read over the story myself many times, but honestly, I've never preached on it before. I don't know why that is. Lord's never given me liberty or peace to preach on it. That's what I'm going to do tonight. I hope this is encouragement, a challenge to you to do more, or reach more, or go farther for Jesus Christ. This is another story that is in all three of the synoptic gospels. I mentioned those lately, several of them lately. It's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all mention the same story, a lot of the same details. Mark here gives a few more details the others don't mention. So that's why we're in Mark tonight. But all three of the gospels tell the same story. This is not a parable. This is a real story. It really happened. A real sick man really got healed and really got saved. It really happened. So let's jump right into the passage here and see what we can learn. Number one, I see the crowd. Verse number one. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. I notice here first the crowd. Jesus has come back into town, come back to Capernaum again. Mark here doesn't spend much time on the beginning of the life of Jesus here on earth. In chapter 1, Jesus is born. Chapter 1, he's raised up, he's baptized, he's called disciples, he begins healing people, all in the first chapter of Mark. It's in the chapter 1 that he mentions that verse I mentioned Sunday night, verse 38. Let us go into the next towns, I may preach there also. Jesus has already been around. He's accomplished a lot by the time we get to Mark chapter number 2. It's just the beginning of Mark, but the Lord's already done a lot of work ahead of this time. People know who Jesus is. That's my point. His popularity is growing. He's healing those that are sick. Those that are sick have gotten, that popularity of him healing people has gotten around. People know about it. People know what he can do. People want to see this man named Jesus. They've heard about what he can do. They may not care anything about whether he's the Son of God or not. They may not believe it. They may not be coming for the right reasons, but they've heard that this Jesus can heal the sick and bring sight to the blind, and he can cleanse a leper, and they all want to see him. There's no doubt most of us would. Some guy came to town, he was literally healing people and healing the blind. I'd want to go see him too. So it's not surprising in verse number 2 that once the word got around that Jesus was in town, he had no trouble filling the house. The house is filled, it says, insomuch there was no room to receive them. The house is packed out, full, standing room only. There's a few sitting down, we find later on, but the house is full. Nobody else can make it in the house to see Jesus. It also says in verse 2 that he preached the word unto them. So this place is packed out, and Jesus is preaching and sharing the word, sharing the gospel with them. But the only one that we hear of that's getting changed is the man outside that can't make it in because of everybody that's in the house. The palsy man that's born of four. My point is this, just because there's a crowd does not mean that we're reaching the needy ones. There's a crowd that came to see Jesus, and yet no one except these four thought that they should bring the sick man to Jesus. The house is full. There's only four people that cared enough to bring the palsy man in. Why were they there then? Why were these people there? They're there for their own needs, maybe, possibly. Maybe they're sick themselves. Maybe they're out of selfishness. Maybe they didn't care about anybody else. Wanted to see Jesus themselves. Maybe they're just there for the entertainment. Maybe they came to see Jesus, what Jesus might do. Just came to see what might happen. Just because the house was full does not mean that lives were being changed. The only recorded life that was changed in that meeting was the man that was left outside. Had it not been for the four, the only recording that we have of anybody being changed in that meeting was the one that couldn't even get inside the house because they were so full. Let's be careful not to fill the house and ignore those outside that their lives could be changed if we could just get them to Jesus. You might say, what are you talking about, preacher? How many times do we pass on by the palsy on our way to church? How many times do we look at them and turn our heads and drive on past and never think a thing about it again? We have a town full of palsy people. This palsy here can be a picture of sin. We'll get to that more later on. Jesus forgave his sins before he healed his disease. He changed his life. How often do we ignore the palsy on our way to fill the house? When we go home, we say, man, what a good day in God's house. We got to meet with Jesus. What a good day. While the palsy still lay in the street unchanged, still headed for hell, still lost on the way to hell. We all do it. We've all done it, myself included, many times. Where's our heart at for the hurting? I'm going to preach on tonight. Where's our burden for the lost? They're sick. There are palsy out there. Who's going to bring them to Jesus? God forbid their house be filled. We have to build another house just to fit everyone in it while we carry on leaving the palsy in the street. I'm all for having a big crowd. It's encouraging. I like seeing visitors come in. It always tears my nerves up to see visitors come in, but I like seeing them come in. Dave, thank you for coming. It's a good thing. God does not care only for numbers. He wants his house to be filled. We know that Luke says, go into the highways and hedges that my house may be filled. Just because we're full does not mean we're reaching the ones we need to be reaching. If God was all about numbers in the NFL, we'd have God all over it. I can tell you right now, the NFL has nothing to do with God. They have the numbers. They're not doing very much. We see the crowd. What about the palsy? The house is full. The ones that need to be changed were stuck outside. There's only four that cared about them. We see the crowd. We see the sick. Verse number 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Sick of the palsy. What is that? What is that talking about? It means to be a paralytic. He had paralysis and most likely involuntary tremors is what that palsy has, the sickness has. Needless to say, he could not walk. He could not in any way, shape, or form get himself to Jesus. I wonder if he even knew anything about Jesus. I don't know. He's been stuck in bed, apparently, probably for quite some time. I don't know how long. I don't even know if he knew that Jesus was in the house where he was at. I don't know if he knew that Jesus could heal him. I don't know what he knew. Had anyone ever told him about Jesus before? Maybe he had heard rumors. Maybe he didn't believe in himself. Maybe he thought Jesus could heal others, but maybe he thought he was just too far gone. You understand where I'm going with this? How many palsies do we have here that maybe they just don't know that they can find Jesus here at New Hope Baptist Church and nobody's told them? How many palsies do we have here that maybe they just don't even know who Jesus is? How many palsies do we have that think that may have heard rumors? Maybe they went to vacation Bible school or Sunday school when they were kids. They've heard rumors of what Jesus can do. Maybe they've heard stories. They just think they're too far gone. Too much of a sinner for God to heal. Can you think of anybody like that tonight? You have anyone in your mind? I'm serious. Can you think of anybody tonight that might qualify for that? Maybe they're palsy. Maybe they don't know what Jesus can do. Maybe they need to get to Jesus. Anybody like that here tonight? I'm asking you, come on. Anybody, you know anybody like that tonight? Let me ask you this. How hard did you try to get them here tonight? Did you try at all? Where are they at? Do they know that Jesus can heal them? They know that Jesus can change their lives. Have you told them? Have you reminded them? Have you prodded them, pulled them, compelled them? Where are they at? The only reason they're not here is either they refused. I'm not telling you to go force them. All the Bible does say compel them. Got to be careful forcing people to go anywhere. Either they refused or you didn't think it's important enough to invite them. I know this is not what you're wanting to hear on Wednesday night. This is what God's been beating me up over since Monday. There's only one reason you wouldn't invite them to church. I'm sure you can come up with more. But it boils down to this. You must not believe that Jesus can really make a difference, or you must not have to put the effort forth. You say, preacher, that's a strong statement. I know it is, and it scares me to death to say it. Because how long have I truly not been believing that Jesus can make a difference? How many times have I walked past the palsy not caring? If we really believed in hell, we really believed that people were going to hell, we would do something about it. We'd do everything in our power to get them to Jesus. If the house across the road was on fire, we wouldn't sit here and watch people burn. We do something about it. Look at that last phrase there in verse number 3, which was born of four. There were four people that said, you know what? If we can get this man to Jesus, I bet I bet Jesus could heal him. If we can get this man to Jesus, I bet he can make a difference in this man's life. Let me add this. It wasn't an easy task. They carried the man in his bed. They picked up the whole bed. Over in Luke, it calls it a couch. I don't know what he's laying on. They picked it up and they carried it to the house of God. A paralyzed man that could in no way help himself. I don't know about you, but I've been a pallbearer in a few funerals a few times. You don't realize until you grab that your portion of the casket how heavy that really is. It's a lot heavier than you think it is. The person that's alive, you know, they can help themselves out. This man here, no disrespect intended, is dead weight. It was heavy. It took some work. Four people. I don't say they were men. I don't know who they were. It could have been men. It took some work to get this man to Jesus. They picked him up at his entire bed. I don't know what he's laying on. They picked his bed, his couch, whatever it was. They picked the whole thing up and carried him to Jesus. These four people carried his bed and everything all the way to Jesus. I don't know how far it was. I don't know how heavy he was. I don't know if it was hot or not outside. They picked him up. They didn't care about the difficulty they were faced with. They didn't care. It may take them a little longer than normal to get there. They spent the time. They spent the effort and picked him up and carried him to Jesus. Let us not make excuses for why we're not attempting to carry someone to Jesus. Well, I just don't have the time, preacher. You don't understand. Your small delay in your day is not going to compare to their first day in hell. Don't let your schedule keep you from carrying your corner. Don't let your excuses keep you from carrying your corner. I can promise you on this day, it made a difference to everyone involved. It made a difference to everyone that was there. They didn't leave that house wishing they ignored the man. They didn't leave the house wishing they hadn't stopped by and picked up his couch. They may have been sore the next day. They didn't regret it. They didn't regret spending their time and their effort to carry him there. Maybe their schedule got messed up. I promise you they didn't regret it. Let me add this. How many times did they bring this man to Jesus before he was healed? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe this is the first time they've ever brought him. Quite possibly it's the first time. Or maybe it's the second time or the 10th time. I don't know. They didn't give up on him. It's worth the effort. We see the sick. They spent the effort, spent the time, put the effort forth to get him to Jesus. We see the task, verse number 4. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. I love this story. They tried to get to Jesus, and they couldn't get him. So they gave up and went home. That's not what it says. We know that. They couldn't get inside to see Jesus through the door. So they said, forget that. They'll climb on top of the roof and tore the roof apart to get to Jesus, get the man to Jesus. I can promise you, if you try to bring someone to Jesus, sooner or later, devil's going to do his best to stop it. He's going to put every obstacle in the way of them getting there, getting to Jesus, getting to the house of God. They're always going to be busy. They're always going to have an excuse. The devil will always give you an excuse if you want one. Doesn't give you the right to forget about the palsy. Just keep at it. Sooner or later, God will give you wisdom. God will make a way. God will remove excuses, and they'll get there. Notice what these four did. They crossed some boundaries. I don't know where this man was. They went and they picked him and his entire bed up. Admittedly, he couldn't put up much of a fight because he's a palsy. But I don't know if they asked permission. I don't know what they did to this man. Obviously, he wanted to see Jesus. But I don't know where they got him from. I don't know how much effort they had to put forth. Notice also they tore a hole in the roof of the house that Jesus is in. Was this their house? I don't know for sure, but it sure doesn't seem like it from the story. It looks like they tore a hole in somebody else's roof to get this man to Jesus. They did some unorthodox things in order to get this man to Jesus. They were bold. I heard of one man who started going soul winning. He got saved in his older man, but the one who told the story said this man would go up to a door, he'd knock on the door, and if somebody would come to the door, he'd say, I have a message from God to you. Do you want to hear it or not? They said, no. He turned around and walked off. That's how he knocked on doors. I'm not saying you should do that. That's the Lord tells you to do that. I'm talking about being bold. I heard of another man who was going, it was again going soul winning. He's an older preacher. Used to be in the military, a big man, 6'6", something like that. He said if he was knocking on doors and someone tried to slam the door in his face, he'd push his foot in the door and stop the door from being slammed in his face and threaten him. What do you think you're doing, slamming the door in my face? The preacher did that. Boldness. I'm not saying do that either. Around here, you probably get shot. If you came to my house, I'd probably shoot you. Don't do that. We ought to be bold. You ought to be willing to be bold for Christ. The task we have is not promised to be an easy one. It's going to take some boldness. It's going to take some stick-to-itiveness. Are you going to hold your corner? The task wasn't promised to be easy. In fact, there's a lot of complications to get it done. They do some more unorthodox things. Had to do some bold things. They got them to Jesus. See their task, see their faith. Verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. When you first read over this, it can sound a little confusing. And I was a little confused at first myself. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. It almost sounds like it was the faith of the four that brought the man to Jesus that saved him. But we know that's not possible. That's not the case, and not what the scripture teaches. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou, thy, thine, thou, personal pronouns. My faith cannot save the palsy man. So what is this verse saying here? That's why it's so important to compare the Bible with the Bible, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. If you're not careful and get things mixed up and you come up with a strange religion and doctrine, get people falling you to hell. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, apparently the faith of the palsy man was included in that pronoun there. It doesn't say who the there was. He says when their faith, when he saw their faith, the palsy man was included in that there. He has to be. It took not only the faith of the palsy man to believe that Christ could heal him and save him, it also took the faith of the ones that brought him to Jesus. And put it this way, if it wasn't for the faith of the four who carried him, he would not have ended up in front of Jesus. If not for the faith of the palsy man, he could not have been saved. We know that from the scriptures. It takes a believing faith from the palsy man. It also takes a bringing faith from the ones that carried their corner. If it were not for the faith of those that went and carried him to Jesus, I wonder if you'd ever been in the presence of Jesus. I don't know. This may have been his only chance to meet him. It takes a believing faith. We know that. It also takes a bringing faith. It takes work. That's why we're going out soul winning on Saturday, practicing our bringing faith, going and getting people and bringing them back in here. If you don't believe that Jesus can save them, then you won't go through the time and effort to bring them. It takes faith. You got to believe that Jesus can make a difference in life. You got to believe that once you get them there, you can actually do something for them. Because if you don't believe that, you're wasting your time. Nothing's going to get accomplished. It took faith. It took bringing faith. We see their faith. We see their unbelief. Get to there in a minute. Sorry, brain went blank. Scribes, here we go. Certain unbelief of the scribes. Verse 6. There are certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, that sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take that bed and walk. These scribes are sitting there. You notice their position. They were sitting there. The ones that were sitting, not doing anything, were the ones who had complaints about how Jesus performed the miracles. So often the same way in churches, the ones who have the complaints that don't agree with what's going on, a lot of times the ones that are sitting. Can I encourage you tonight, don't worry about the comments and the unbelief of the crowd. Let the Lord handle them. He did here in this passage, like how he did it too. It says they reasoned within their hearts, and Jesus rebuked them publicly for their unbelief in their heart. They didn't say anything out loud, and Jesus rebuked them out loud. The ones who weren't carrying anyone to Jesus had complaints about how Jesus was doing his work. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, we've never done it that way before, where there's much better way of doing things. Don't be in the crowd that's sitting there making complaints, not getting anything done. If God's doing a work, you can be sure the devil's also going to be trying to do a work. Don't be part of the unbelieving crowd. We see the unbelief. We see the palsy. See where he stood. Verse 10. That you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy. I say to thee, arise, take up that bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, and so much they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I just want to say this here. As man was carried in, he couldn't come to Jesus if he wanted to. He was carried. He was let down through the roof. He took the faith of the ones that brought him, as well as his own faith in Jesus. God changed his life. He left carrying his own bed. He was carried in on his bed, and he walked out carrying his bed. It's the kind of God we serve. Walked in being carried, walked out carrying his bed himself. He can make a difference. When others passed him by, those four said, I have faith. We can just get him to Jesus. I have faith that God can do something about it, do something for him. Jesus can change his life. If we can just get him to Jesus, I believe Jesus can do something about it. Y'all pay attention. Young people, look up here. I'm talking to you, talking to all of you. Hey. Listen to me. Can I challenge you tonight? Get them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. He can make a difference. If you get them to Jesus, he can change them. If you believe he can do something about it, he can change them. Get them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. Let him handle the rest of it. Bring the unbelieving. Bring the believing. Jesus can change them. If you get him here, the Lord can do something about it. If you get him to him, he can do something about it. I'm trying to do a little illustration here. Wake y'all teens up a little bit. About to fall asleep over there. Isaiah. pull that out a little bit. All right, it's late now. It's late now. All right, your palsy. You lay down. Lay down, don't move. No thinking, no talking. I know it's not quite a bed, but close enough. Here's a palsy man. He's sick. He's helpless. Jeremiah agrees, probably pretty helpless most of the time. Can't get to Jesus on his own. Day after day, he wastes away his life laying in his bed. All it's going to take is getting him to Jesus. All he's going to take is meeting Jesus one time. And his life and eternity is going to be changed. And get four people to come, four young men, four anybody, somebody, volunteers. One more. And y'all get a corner. I think you know how this is going to go. Well, I know we don't have a roof here. We're going to pretend Jesus is over there. He's inside the house over there. Not yet. Stop. What are you going to do about it? This man is weak. He's palsy. He's paralyzed. He can't move anything. But if you can get him to Jesus, he can be changed forever. If you can just get him to Jesus, he can change his life. All right, go ahead. Try to cure him. Get him to Jesus. All right, stop. John, you let go. John got mad at the preacher. He didn't agree with how he did everything. Instead of coming and talking to me about it, resolving the problem, he quit carrying his corner. All right, y'all three, go ahead. John, you can let go. It's a lot harder to stop. It's a lot harder now, ain't it? Probably hurting Isaiah a little bit down there. Don't worry about the carpet burn on your head. You too, Isaiah and Carter, y'all go have a seat. Ben and Carter. Isaiah, you sit. You're palsy. You're sick. Sit. He still needs to get to Jesus. Brian. It's a lot harder now. Church, I'm burdened about it. I'm burdened about getting souls to Jesus. I can't do it by myself. I can try my best. I can pull and I can drag. And I can throw them on the ground and act like they're dead and pull them to church. And that's not going to go over very well. And Craig PD will probably get involved. If we can just get them to Jesus. Church. Some come grab a corner. Church, will you pick up a corner? Going soul on Saturday. There's a lot of palsy people out there in our town. Just grab a corner. You can be seated, both y'all. All heads bowed, every last close, if you would. Anybody here tonight say, preacher, I heard what you're saying. I feel like I'm one of the palsy myself. Anybody here that say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know where I'd go. If you died right now, do you know for sure? Do you wake up in heaven? You can know that tonight. Have peace about that. If you're going to say, preacher, I don't know that. If you would just slip your hand up, anybody don't know for sure, you go to heaven when you die. You slip your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I don't want to point you out. I don't want to scare you. I just want to pray for you. Anybody here tonight say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know where I'd go. But I haven't been carrying my corner very well. I invite you to come to the altar tonight and get it right. I invite you to come and pray, and Lord, use me or let me carry my corner. I'm telling you, the Lord's been beating me up over this message since Monday. I've got a work to do. Church, there's a lot of work to get done. There's a lot of palsy people dying on the way to hell. They just need to get to Jesus. Are you going to carry your corner? And then ask you to carry the whole thing. Lord, I think of his day. Lord, I think of his people here. I think of his church. Lord, I pray you take a simple thought and challenge us tonight to do more for you. Lord, I pray we get a work done for you here in Craig. In Jesus' name.